What a tremendous refrain. You're altogether worthy, altogether lovely. And that this morning, that is our desire, to see the worthiness and loveliness and beauty of Jesus Christ. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the little epistle of 1 John near the end of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. We read a portion of this last week, and we want to return back to this as we reflect for a few moments on God's love, the recovery of God's love. 1 John chapter 4. Let us begin reading in verse 7, and we will read down through verse 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. And may Jesus Christ, who is the living Word, speak to us from this passage, which is His written Word. When we speak of the love of God, we immediately begin to walk on holy ground. It is a concept that is so deep, so rich, and so manifold in its beauty that we can hardly explain it, much less understand it. It is the foundation of all of God's work. His love. Now, last week we opened this series by focusing on God's Trinitarian love. The love that exists within the life of God Himself. That is the foundation for any statement of God's love for us, our love for God, or our love for one another. And we went into great detail last week as we focused on the love of God as a Trinitarian love. We cannot go back over that, but I want to reiterate how foundational that is. The Father loves the Son, and the Son reflects back to the Father that perfect love. And that love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. That's why Paul says in Romans 5 that the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, this Trinitarian love is referred to in John 17. We read that passage last week. And in most places where we hear of the love of God, our first understanding needs to be that it's referring to the love that God shares within Himself. That's the foundation of His love for us. We oftentimes, and we mention this, want to go immediately when we speak of the love of God, of God's love for us. Now, as we said last week and as we're going to see this morning, God indeed loves us, with a love that is deeper than anything known. But that love for us is rooted in the love within the very nature of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As a Trinitarian being, God's love is always flowing outward. Now that's very significant. The Father loves the Son, and everything the Father does, He does because of His love for the Son. And the Son reflects back that love in His complete submission and obedience to the will of the Father. Everything God does, including loving you and loving me, is because of His love within the triune nature as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now God also reflects that love or manifests that love in His outgoing work, particularly in creation. God has created this world as an expression of His beauty and of His love. All of creation is ablaze with the glory and beauty and love of God. That's His purpose, is to reveal His love. God determined in creation to go public, as we would say, with His glory and His love. He shows it. He manifests it. But then this love comes to a particular focus. And that's what I want to concentrate on for the next few moments. We don't have time to unpack everything about it, but I want to give you the heart of His love this morning. God has a love for His people. Now, let me say this to you. God loves everyone in a particular way. God loves the world. Not only the created order, but He loves all people. And He is merciful. And He is compassionate toward all people. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. God reflects His common grace, His care, His love for all people. But now this is where the Scriptures become very specific. God also reveals to us His redemptive love to a people that He has called for His own sake. A people for His glory. A people to manifest and embody His love in their lives. This love is, first of all, a covenantal love. God's love is a covenantal love. He shows it in making covenant. He made covenant, first of all, with Adam and Eve. He made covenant with Abraham, and God calls Abraham His friend. Now, the term friend is a covenantal term. And when God calls Abraham His friend, God is expressing His covenantal love, His covenantal care for Abraham. It's interesting that Jesus says later in John chapter 15, "I have not called you as slaves, but I have called you friends." To be a friend of God is to enter into a covenantal bond with God in Jesus Christ. His covenantal love is shown for us. In Hosea 11:1, God said, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." God sent Moses to Pharaoh, you remember, and he said, "Let my people go." For then he says, "Israel is my firstborn son." Well, Hosea picks up on that very theme and says that when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. God entered into covenant with His people Israel at Mount Sinai. And there God revealed His covenantal nature. You remember, of course, that Moses went up on the mount. And after the incident with the golden calf, in which the people had turned away from worshiping God and started worshiping this idol calf, Moses prayed and asked God to be merciful and to forgive the people. And in one of the most powerful statements in all of Scripture, he says, "If not, then take my life." He places himself in the gap, as it were, as he intercedes for Israel. And then later in that prayer, he asked God to show His glory to him. And you remember God said, "Go stand in a cleft of the rock, probably a little cave." And there God said to him, "I will cause my glory to pass by, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord." And so the glory of the Lord did indeed pass by, and the Lord proclaimed His name, saying, the Lord, or Yahweh, Yahweh, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, in hesed and emeth. I am abounding in these things. For this is my name. This is my glory. This is who I am. I am a God who abounds in steadfast love. And that word could be translated covenant love. This is my covenant love to you. I forgive your sins. I remain faithful to my promises. I fulfill my word. I show to you my covenant love. It's important for us to understand biblical terminology because God's love is covenantal by nature. Oftentimes we hear this term and it comes to us from psychology. We don't have this term in Scripture. There are certain truths conveyed by this term that are true, but it's amazing how we've picked up the language of the world, especially in our therapeutic culture. And while there are certain truths conveyed, and don't misunderstand me, there are certain truths conveyed, we actually then begin to go down that path and we find that it becomes a path that is contrary to Scripture eventually. It's the idea of God's unconditional love. We hear sometimes people say, "Well, God loves us unconditionally." Now, this concept comes from psychology. It's called unconditional positive regard. It's the idea that we affirm people. It's the idea that, especially when it gets put into popular thinking or popular teaching, that deep down you're okay. God accepts you just like you are. He does not require anything of you. You have intrinsic worth. You just need to relax and let the basic good that is within you begin to emerge. You need to feel good about yourself. Now, as I said, there are certain things that are true about that concept, unconditional love. But the truth is, God's love for us is very much conditioned not on who we are. Thank goodness for that. But it's conditioned on what Jesus Christ did. What He accomplished. What He has done on our behalf. God loves us for Jesus' sake. That is foundational to understanding covenantal love. That is crucial in our spiritual well-being. God's love is actually a contra-conditional love. It's contrary to who we are. It's contrary to what we deserve as sinners. He loves us enough to rescue us. And He loves us enough to transform us through the cross of Jesus Christ. His love is a covenantal love. Secondly, His love is a sovereign love. God loves you because of who He is. And He loves you because He loves you. We often want to go immediately to the subject of why does God love me? Well, listen to what God said in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. God is speaking through Moses to the people. And He says, "The Lord did not set His love on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples." In other words, there was nothing in you that caused God to love you. It was not due to your size as a nation. It was not due to your power. It was not due to your statutes. He was the one who revealed to you His law. It then goes on to say this, "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He gave to our ancestors that He brought out with a mighty hand and redeemed from the land of slavery from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The Lord loved you simply because He loved you. I love that. He loved you because He loved you. He loved you out of the very nature of His being. He didn't love you because of something in you. Thank goodness that's the case. Because our condition would cause His wrath to be upon us. But He loved you because He loved you. He goes on in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy to say something very similar. "To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set His affection on your ancestors and loved them." The Lord set His love on your fathers and loved them. He loves because He loves. And it is a sovereign love. It is a love in which He reveals His sovereign purposes in bringing a people to know Him. The third thing about this love is it is a sacrificial love. We just read in 1 John 4:9, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son that we might live through Him." It is in this love, in this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God's love was a sacrificial love, and it found its fullest expression in the cross of Jesus Christ. In the cross, God revealed His love to us. He showed to us His eternal, His sovereign, His covenant love for His people in sacrificing Jesus Christ for our sins. He was an atonement. He was a propitiation for our sins, meaning He suffered the punishment due our sin because He loved us. I sometimes think about the cross and close my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns in Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see Him die, I could see but a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in His heart. I sometimes close my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns in Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see Him die, I could see but a little part of that great love, which like a fire is always, always, always burning in his heart. God's love is a sacrificial love, and it's revealed in the cross of Jesus Christ. I used to wonder, how did the cross show the love of God? And I ask you this question: would I show you my love if I took my son and allowed him to be beaten and crucified and put to death? That's why some people have called the cross an abusive love, and thus no love at all. But that's not what happened on the cross. You see, on the cross, the Father and the Son were one. It was not the Son trying to placate or trying to pacify a God who's distant from Him. They are one. And in that cross, Jesus took our sins, and He paid the penalty. He suffered the punishment. He endured the wrath of God, the judgment of God against our sins. And that's how He showed His love. It was a love that's always, always burning in His heart. May we know that love this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your love. And we thank You that that love, which we cannot even begin to comprehend, we cannot understand the height, nor depth, nor width, nor breadth of that love. And yet, You have set Your love upon us. And so we bring our lives and offer them to You in order that Your love may transform us, and that in our lives the image of Christ, whom You love, may be formed, and that we may learn to love You and love the Son even as You love the Son and as the Son loves You. We thank You that today we've been reminded of Your love. Now may we express that love in our love for one another, and our love for Jesus Christ, and our love for a world that needs to know His love. This I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.